which is the most important thing. I say, as I said before, much has been said in this day and time about religious education. Religious education. And I think it's good to educate people religiously. But it's more important to know God for yourself. Much knowledge about God, intellectual knowledge, without a personal knowledge of God, will not get us to heaven. But it is important to know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, and to walk with Him by the day. That's important. I feel led to read maybe more than one scripture lesson, but for now we'll read the fifth chapter, I believe, of John. And we begin reading about verse 25 in the fifth chapter of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Let me read that verse again before we go on further into it. I want to notice closely what I read. John, the sixth chapter, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. The hour is coming in the future, and is that way now. Amen. Yes. All right. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The dead that hear is the one that lives. All right, let's go a little further. Verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, and so has He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Let me read that verse again. For as the Father has life in Himself, so has He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now we'll take verse 27, and let's get verse 28, pardon me. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which, in that same hour, all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. I want to notice the exact reading of this now. All that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Verse 29, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Amen. Now, we notice in this first verse we read, which is the 25th verse, says plainly there, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Didn't say it has come, but it's coming. Then He said it now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of God. According to this reading, that condition existed at that time and will be so in the future. When the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall live. Now the word hear in the scripture means to heed. It means more than hear the sound of one's voice, but take heed to the same.
That's right.
That's the meaning of hear in the scripture. In the Old Testament it said, "Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord." Which means take heed the word of God. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The sound of the gospel may go into the ears of many people, but those that take heed to it is the one that will live. Now, we notice that this is speaking about people being dead in sin. The term dead or death means separation. It does not mean complete destruction in every case, but it does mean separation. Death to the physical body is a separation of the soul from the body. Death to the soul means a separation of the soul from the Lord. So dead in this phrase means dead in trespasses and in sin. Those who are separated from the Lord through sin. They're dead. Therefore is dead. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Bearing in mind that people that are dead in trespasses and in sin, they are separated from the Lord. They shall hear the voice of the Lord through the gospel. May they hear shall live. Which means be saved. But verse 28 reads a little different. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which, it is said now is, that's entirely in the future, yet to come. But the 25th verse, the hour is coming, and it's that way now. Amen. It's that way now, but be that way in the future. When the dead shall hear the voice of God, and then the dead shall live. But verse 28, the hour is coming in the which all that are in that grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We notice the difference in the two verses. Verse 25 was dealing with those that are dead in trespasses and in sin. They'll hear the voice of God through the gospel and live, I'll be saved. Verse 28 is dealing with those who are physically dead and buried in the grave. Amen. And the time is not yet for them to be resurrected. So that is entirely in the future. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves to hear the voice of God and to come forth. Some to the resurrection of life, and others to the resurrection of damnation. And all of this is in the future. But so far as the sinners that are dead in sin, the hour was coming when they live, and the hour is right now when they live. It's the year's voice. Dealing with those that are dead in trespasses and sins, someone said in Ephesians, the second chapter, and I might have you read me about five verses and want you to read loud and distinct as we call for it, slowly. And I will recall your attention also to the 15th chapter of Luke. Well, it tells about a man that had two sons. The younger son said to his father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. He divided his living among them. The younger took all of his substance, the money, took his leave into a far country, and wasted his substance to divide his living. And afterwards there arose a mighty famine in that land. And this boy began to be in want, and no man gave to him. He joined himself to the citizens of that country, and attempted to feed the swine. But he became so hungry, till he was tempted to eat husk with the swine. So he decided to go back to his father's house. Acknowledge I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me the hired servant. And he did go back. The father saw him a great way off, ran to meet him, fell on his neck, kissed him. The son began to confess. But the old man said to his servant, bring me the best robe, put on my body. Put shoes on his feet, ring on his hand, and also kill the fat calf again. And set the musicians to play the music again. He said, my son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost. But now he's found. In what sense was his son dead? He is separated from him without any parent chance to ever see him again. Hence he was dead in that sense. Dead means separated from the Lord through sin. Now, it means much to recognize that the term dead has reference to a sinner. In Ephesians 2, what did I give you? Start reading with verse 1, let's notice that.
And you have the quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins.
And you have the quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's where you were dead.
In time past, you walked
according to the course of this world.
According to the prince of the power of
the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience.
In whom also we all had our conversation.
We had our conversation that way in time past.
In the lust of our flesh.
Lust of our flesh.
Fulfilling the desire of the flesh.
We was fulfilling the desire of the flesh.
And of the mind.
And of the mind even.
And were by nature the children of wrath.
And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
But God, who is rich in mercy.
Now God is rich in mercy.
By his great love, wherewith he loved us.
His great love, wherewith he loved us.
When we were dead in sin,
and
quickened us together with Christ.
By grace are you saved.
And has raised us up together.
And after he quickened us, he raised us up together.
And made us sit together in heavenly places.
Sit together in heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus.
As a plenty. Now you notice twice in this chapter, he mentioned you were dead. And trespasses and sins. But you were quickened, made alive. Now Paul, speaking of winter and deep, but he said, those who live in pleasure, if dead, why should live? Dead in sin. All right. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. All right? Those that are dead in trespasses and sin shall hear the voice of God. They shall live. Do you remember? Was it not the prophet Ezekiel that saw a valley of dry bones, even bleached? It looked like there was no hope. The bones are bleached. That's over in maybe the 37th chapter now. Someone check it. But however, I just want you to have this reference, but you can consult it later. It says that the Lord asked him, can they live? So finally told him to prophesy to those folks. And before you got preaching, through preaching that, bone began to come to bone, and sinew to sinew, and connect up that. Before the Lord was alive men, the whole army of them, the gospel message, will resurrect the dead. They're in sin. dead in trespasses and sin, they shall hear the voice of God. And they that hear shall live. Those who are dead in sin, if they'll hear or heed the gospel, they shall live. And it doesn't matter how dead they are, that's the thought. If they're so dead, shall their bones will bleed, spiritually speaking. They'll still live. And they'll hear the gospel. So I want you to understand good. This 25th verse is dealing with those that are dead in trespasses and in sin. And those dead in sin, they shall hear the voice of God. And they that hear shall live. Now then, but when they leave it, and to verse 26, for the Father hath likened himself, so as to give unto the Son, have life in himself, and has given him authority, notice that, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now notice that verse 28 is not speaking about dead in sin, because verse 25 says the hour is coming, and it now is that way. You can do it right now. That anyone that's dead in sin can hear the voice of God and live. But verse 28 says, marvel not at this. It's kind of a mystery. For the hour is coming. But it did not say that it now is. Because it's not that way now. It's yet in the future. In which, in that hour, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now this time, it mentioned grave. It's not speaking about folks that are dead in trespasses and in sin, but it speaks about people that graveyard dead and buried, their bodies in the grave. And the hour is coming in the grave, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now listen, we might pause with that a little bit until I read something else to you. Then we'll come back to this for a minute. We're turning now to the 20th chapter of the Revelation. And someone gets this place and might begin to read. I believe start reading in about verse 4 and read to verse 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sit upon them. It says that this text to give his thoughts to execute judgment. Judgment was given to them this time. I want you to notice it didn't say the bodies. I saw the souls of them that are beheaded for what? For the witness of Jesus.
And for the word of God.
And for the word of God. And they had not wishes to be. And had not wishes to live. And they refused to accept his mark.
Upon their forehead.
Now in their hand. They live and reign with Christ 1,000 years.
But the rest of the dead live not again.
Until 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection, the one I read about in verse 25.
Blessed
is holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power.
They shall be priests of God.
And of Christ.
And they're going to reign with God
1,000 years.
When the 1,000 years expire,
that's a plenty right there. Now I want you to notice here that it says that I saw the soul of them. that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now bear in mind that this is a scope of men who are already killed. Their heads are cut off. I saw those souls, and those souls lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Those souls did. And he said, blessed and holy is he that has part in this first resurrection. Because those folks will not be hurt by the second death. They'll be pleased unto God. And so, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now bear in mind that in verse 25, it mentions a resurrection that would come to all people that hear the gospel. For it said, the hour is coming, in the which, and now is, pardon me, when the dead can hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall live. This is mentioning the first resurrection, which means a resurrection from a dead state in sin to a life state in Christ. Yes. Now someone turn to the Roman letter, the 6th chapter, and begin reading about verse 1 and reading down. And notice the thought that we won't understand that those that are in sin, they are called dead. Alright? Listen. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, have that ready. You begin to read now. And some of them get Colossians.
What shall we say to him?
Shall we continue in sin?
That grace may abound.
God forbid. How shall we
that are dead to sin
the sin? Live any longer than he is.
Know
ye not.
That
are baptized into Jesus Christ.
Were
baptized into his death.
Therefore,
we are buried with him
by baptism unto death.
Like as Christ was raised from the dead.
By the glory of the Father.
Even so we
should walk in newness of life.
That's a prayer right now. We notice here that it's speaking again about a resurrection from that state of sin into a newness of life, which separates you from sin and could be turned dead to sin in some cases, in the sense to separate from it. But it wants to stay with the thought of the resurrection just now. Now you would have Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Start reading with verse 1. Let us listen to that. If you then be risen with Christ,
seek those things which are
above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now it will set your affection on things above, and not on things in the earth. You are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ with our life shall appear, we also compare with him. That's a prayer just now. That brings in the twofold thought of being dead to sin, or dead in sin. You are dead in sin, but you've been resurrected, praise the Lord, to newness of life in Christ. Now back to the thought. In verse 25, the dead shall hear the voice of God. And they that hear shall live. That speaking about folks that are dead to sin shall be resurrected from a dead state of sin, which is called the first resurrection. And here in Revelation it says, blessed is he that has part in that first resurrection, and he will not be hurt by the second death. And the second death, and we are trying not to forget to bring out a little of that before we close. The second death means to be sent to eternal hell in the lake of fire. That's the second death. Perhaps we'll look at that now, so that if we can get it, you have in mind that second death. Someone turn again to the Revelation 20th chapter. Let's examine the last few verses there and see what we can find. I have here, please, and it says, verse 13 reading now, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now everybody that's not found written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. All right? The first resurrection is those who are resurrected from a dead state of sin and trespasses and are now walking in the newness of life with Christ Jesus. They have had part in the first resurrection, and those people will not be hurt by the second death, which is the lake of fire. All right then, let us notice now a little further. Notice the fact that John saw these souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now bear in mind that these people have their heads already cut off. They are dead physically, but their soul is living on in paradise. And John saw those souls of those who are beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And to those souls, glory to God, that reigned with Christ 8,000 years. And to the souls of men that had had part in the first resurrection, they were pleased unto God and reigned with him 1,000 years. Now the question now comes to mind as to what is the soul of man. The soul of a man is the spirit part of man. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. And our likeness. And in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, says, God did form man's body from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And again, we find in Job 14:22, describing soul and body, his place upon him shall have pain, his soul in him shall mourn. Now, some people have thought, inasmuch, and many people do think, that since in the second chapter of Genesis, verse 7, that says God formed the man's body from the dust of the earth, of the ground, then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. The fact that he breathed life into him has caused some to think that the soul is the breath. But now God is a spirit. And when God breathes, he does breathe forth a spiritual element, thus creating in man a spirit called the soul. Because God is spirit, and when he breathes a spiritual element. And we notice the term soul applies to many other things other than man. For illustration, we'll speak about a tree, just any tree. The tree has a heart in it. Then the inner part of the tree is called the heart of the tree. And that part of the tree is somewhat different to the rest of the tree. That's the heart of the tree. You take an apple has a core to it. The core of the apple is slightly different to the main part of the apple. You take the earth, for illustration, the minerals under the earth, sometimes called the soul of it, and so on. You take a shoe, the important part of the shoe is called the soul. Making some shoes nowadays less butter soul. But in any case, the soul part of the shoe is the important part of the shoe. Same way the soul of a man is actually the man. You take the soul off a shoe and you have no shoes. You'd be better with the soul and without the rest. than to have the top without a soul. The soul of a man is the important part of man, the inward man, the spirit part of man. And back with the 12th chapter reading by 23 verses, says God that formeth the spirit of man within him. The soul of man is spirit. Alright? And in 2 Corinthians 4:16, says though your outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise the Lord. That's the soul. And again we find the soul mentioned by Paul this way. We know that the earth is the house, our tabernacle, to be dissolved. We have a building of God eternal in the heaven. The house not made with hands. This tabernacle is the body. And we find that when a man dies, notice this closely, the soul leaves the body. The soul, a spirit which is eternal, like God, when the physical body dies, it means the soul, our spirit of man, leaves the body, and it is dead. And Genesis, the 25th chapter, verse 18, speaking of the death of Jacob's wife, her soul was in departing, for she died. That soul departed out of the body, for she died. For the soul, a spirit, which is eternal like God, leaves the body then is dead. Because it was the soul and spirit keeping it alive all the time. Now, notice the fact that this soul, we believe in Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the dust, this body, you know, from which it comes. But the spirit, our soul, to return to God, to gain. That's the soul of a man. In the 8th chapter of Psalms, verse 4, says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, set him over all the work of your hands, everything in the sea and everything that has in the sea, sheep and oxen and flocks. What's the matter? That soul is a part of what God. Eternal, in other words. Never dies. And once the soul comes into existence, never out of existence. That soul lives on forever somewhere. It says the body returns to the dust, but the spirit turns back to God. What will God do with it? The spirit of the wicked, Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. But the soul of the righteous, come ye blessed to my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. Recorded in Matthew 25:21. That the soul of a man is the spirit part of man. That soul is eternal, lives on forever somewhere. Therefore, let us bear in mind what it says there, that they that live, that hear the voice of God, shall live. Now, that means that soul shall be resurrected from a dead state of sin to a state of life and holiness in the Lord. Therefore, even Revelation 20:24, said John saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the riches of Jesus, and those souls live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Again, we find in Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 9, where it says there, John saw on the altar the souls of those who were slain for the riches of Jesus, and those souls cried to God, and said, how, O Lord, holy true, dost thou not avenge our love on them that slew us, and so on. But he said to them, rest in the season, and give them fat loaves, and then rest and tell some of your brothers, just the same thing. Therefore, we understand that the soul of a man is that spirit part of man. When the man dies, that soul and spirit leave the body. Glory to God. When he lives on somewhere, the soul of the righteous is in paradise and rest. I want to mention the soul one more time. We find on record, I believe that must be in the 16th chapter of Luke, down about verse 19. Someone examine that. There is no way how to write scripture. It mentions two men that lived on the earth. One was a righteous man and very poor, and one was a wicked man and very rich. This poor man, Lazarus, it is said, was laying in his gate, desiring to cross,
that fall from the chamber. That rich man was cried at being venerated as bad substances every day, clothed with temples, and finally, and the poor man ladder laid at the gate, desiring the crumb that fall from the table, but a final record of it ever given in the crumb. But the dog came and licked his sore. But listen, glory to God, in Psalm 34:7, said the angel of the Lord, encamping round about, don't spare him, and deliver him. But there are poor men, if they fear God, the angel of God, is camped round about him. Therefore, this poor man Lazarus had some company. If he didn't have any extra company, the angel of God stood by it and said the poor man Lazarus died and was carried by the angel to the bosom of Abraham and left in comfort over there in paradise. And again we find that in one case, this rich man finally died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The soul of each man had passed on to the other world they are. I want to tell you, that soul lives right on after this body has returned back to the mother of death. Now bear in mind, it said here, I saw the souls of those that were headed for the gospel, and those souls lived and reigned with Christ 8,000 years. Now then, some folks in this day and time, they say in the final end judgment, when this world comes to an end, that Jesus Christ is coming back here and set up a kingdom down here on the earth and reign 1,000 years. But this did not talk that way. These were men that were already dead, and their bodies, no doubt, moved in the air. But their souls were over the air in paradise, and those souls lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Therefore, let us notice the little brother in this lesson that God knows all about it, and he knows how to fix everything up. It says in verse 28, marvel not at this, the hour is coming, in the which, in that same hour, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They have done good unto the resurrection of life. They have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Notice in 1 hour, both the wicked and the righteous will be resurrected.
Yes.
And in the same hour, they will all receive their reward. That didn't leave any place for 1,000 years later. They will all take care of immediately in the resurrection. Less than hour, they'll all take care of. Leaves no place for 1,000 years. Now, we notice Daniel saw the same thing in Daniel 12 and 2. I'd like to have some quick readers now. Get your Bibles ready, and whoever I can get a scripture, let me call it out so I know you have it. Daniel 12 and 2. That's good. All right, and I want someone else to get the 6th chapter of John. And I'll have you read several verses. The first will be verse 39. And another will get Acts, the 24th chapter, and the 15th verse. Uh-huh. And someone else gets Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. Uh-huh. That's good. Now, John 11 and 24. And each of you, when I call for the text, will expect you to then read it. And we might also have 1 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, and verse 13. Now, you must have John, you can have Daniel read first for me. Daniel 2. Daniel 12 and 2. Yeah. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth awake. Some of them to everlasting life. And some to shame. And everlasting condemnation. Now Daniel, way back in Old Testament time, foresaw that there'd be a resurrection of all the dead, righteous and the wicked at the same time. Praise the Lord. And the wicked will receive their reward right then of everlasting condemnation. The righteous will receive their reward right then, everlasting life. Leaving no place for later transactions. It's all done right then. Now you must have Acts 24:15 read carefully and loud. Yes.
And have hope towards us.
have hope for God. But even their bones was alive. That shall be a resurrection of the dead. Both of the just and of the unjust. Now I notice that the resurrection both the good and bad. That's right. They all understood that it happened. It would not just be a resurrection of the good or a resurrection of the bad, but a resurrection of both at one time, in 1 hour. Amen? Now, in John 11:24 reading, Martha even understood it. Said to Peter,
I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection.
At the last day. Now, she told Jesus that. She didn't seem to think it's going to be 1,000 years when he comes back. But the resurrection will take place until the last day. There will not be any other day when the resurrection comes. Now, keep that before you. He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, then, you can have John 6:39 read. And want to know this is the Father's will. The Father sent me. All the children that give me. I'm not losing any of them. And I'm going to raise it up again. He also, Jesus himself, is going to raise his children in the last day. Now, when the last day comes, there is no other day after that. So then it will not be 1,000 years. A millennium reign after Christ comes back. Because it's not coming until the last day. And he's going to raise all of his children from the dead in the last day. All right. Now you have 3:40 in the same chapter. And this is the will of him. The same one who sent me. Anyone who sees the Son and believes on him. I want him to have everlasting life. And I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Again, we find that there's no other day after that. He made it clear to us that he's not coming back until the last day. Praise the Lord. And when the last day comes, he's going to raise the righteous and the wicked in the same hour. And the wicked shall be given their reward right then of eternal damnation. And the righteous be given their reward of eternal life. And it will all happen in the last day. Now let's go to verse 44 and see what it says.
No man can come to me.
Except the Father who sent me.
Draw him.
And I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Jesus knows not to get his goodness. He kept telling it in the same lecture. I'm going to raise him up at the last day. It seemed like there'd be no reason then to think that there'll be 1,000 years millennium reign. That some people living in hope of the hope to get right on the other side of the grave. But if we don't settle here, we are held down. Those are the same. Why in life, as it says here, those that are in the first resurrection shall not be hurt with the second death. And the first resurrection is resurrection from a dead state of sin and in trespasses to a state of life in the Lord, in newness of life. And those will not be hurt by a second death. Now read verse 54 in the same 6th chapter of John.
Whosoever eateth my
flesh will receive my word. And drinketh my blood will receive his life. He has eternal life. And I'm going to raise him up at the last day. There just isn't any other day left. We cannot say that there will be 1,000 years millennium reign because it's not coming till the last day. And when he comes back in the last day, he's going to raise them up that's serving him in that last day. And it says the wicked and the righteous will be resurrected in the same hour, and in that same hour receive that reward. Some everlasting life, and others everlasting chains and content in the same hour. Praise the Lord. Here I shall melt
with the Jesus and the
somebody living. Men are born to die, and then they leave them with the time they will die. And days, place, and average time at 60 and 10, and by reason spent before score is gone. But bear in mind, somebody will still be living.
That's
right. Because the earth will repopulate itself over and over. And those who are born later now, to be in the prime of life, will probably be still living when Jesus comes back. But he says they will be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. When? At the last trump. Praise the Lord. That last trumpet shall blow, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now bear in mind, this change does not take, but the resurrection doesn't take place until the last day. Oh, glory. And it's going to be the last trumpet. Don't expect another resurrection because there won't be another trumpet. The last trumpet, praise the Lord, shall flow, and when that happens, all the dead will be resurrected in the moment and in the twinkle of an eye. And those living shall be changed. Someone turn to Revelation 10. Read verse 5 and 6 and let the eye sound. God wants us to recognize the fact that there is no place for 1,000 years, millennium reign, heaven and earth. But they said the souls of them that are beheaded for the gospel, those souls reign with Christ 1,000 years. Where is those souls? They are in paradise, reigning with Christ. As Jesus said, do you remember? It's on record in the 19th chapter of John about Christ dying between two outlaws, one on each side. And one place in the gospel, when it comes to the point, just before he died, and then fire, one man began to rail on him, called himself the Son of God, and he's dying like us. But the other man said, Lord, will you come in your kingdom? Remember me. Jesus said to this man, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Therefore, we understood that man's soul when he died. We're going to go to paradise and be with Christ in paradise. Likewise, I want to say the same stands true with the souls of those that are beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Those souls were in paradise and reigning in paradise with Christ 1,000 years. But I want to say those that are on earth in the final age of resurrection, those souls will be called back from paradise. Reinstated in their bodies again. And I will tell you, when that time comes, they will never have to reign here and there anymore. They're going to be with Jesus long Savior. But listen, I don't want to get before I'm through to mention a little something about that 1,000 years reign before we're through this lesson. But bear in mind that it stands here that the last cup shall flow, and those that are dead shall hear his voice and come forth, and those that are living shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. That'll happen in a little while. That does not sound like being around here in 1,000 years. Don't need to do it. Our God is given, you and I. If today I had the responsibility to register everybody in this room, I'd have to have 2-3 secretaries and a long line form. It'd take a long time to get through with all of it. But I want to tell you, my God doesn't have that trouble. He excels in his mathematician he ever saw in all his life. He said, one place, they have your head. All members go to his place of faith. And I want to tell you, God Almighty is better for his soul. And the millions of saints all over the world can pray at one time unto him. He lifted all of them. And don't get down. Jesus calls up. He's like it. I want to tell you, when Jesus sets on his judgment and the last day, it will not take him 1,000 years to get this same place out. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, he shall all of it at one time and pass out that precious word. Therefore, he said, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, there's going to be a time when that time comes that pays you and I to have part in the place of resurrection from a dead state of sin that we might be alive in Christ, walking in newness of life, and we'll hear that blessed word. Wow. Revelation 10, verse 5 and 6, begin to read.
And the angel which I saw
stand
upon the sea.
And upon the earth.
Lift
up his hands to heaven.
He swear by him that liveth
forever and ever.
He
swear by him that created heaven.
And the
one that created the things in heaven.
And the earth and the things that
therein are. He created the earth, know who that is, the things in the earth.
The sea and
everything in the sea, you know who done that.
He
swear that be time no more. No longer. Now then, how can there be 1,000 years millennium reign? When there won't be time anymore. It's all over. Jesus Christ is not coming back until the last day. He's not going to come until the last trumpet. Praise the Lord. And when the last trumpet blows, in that last day, all the dead will be resurrected in 1 hour. Some of them resurrected to the life of eternal life, others to damnation and eternal contempt. This will all happen in the last day, and when that angel sounds the trumpet, there'll be time no more. The end of time and eternity has begun. Amen. Now, seeing this, that this is going to be the last thing that will happen, someone turn to Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 15 to 17, let's hear that sound. The 5 verse 13 to 17.
Walk in wisdom.
Walk in wisdom.
Toward
the
Lord.
Be in the time. That's wisdom. Now is the time to make use of your time. It would be too late on the other side. We cannot wait until then and feel that there'll be a time then to get straight. It must be done in life. And we miss it now, we miss it forever. That's why the devil would like to get us to believe there will be another time. Now, if he can manage that, it's all over there. Amen. Thank the Lord. The church of God knows the salvation.
Thank you.
rose again.
Even so them
also. Which sleep are dead in Jesus. God's going to bring them with him.
This we say unto you. By the word of the Lord.
And are sent by the word of the Lord.
That we which are alive.
And remain alive to the coming of the Lord.
Shall not prevent which means
go before. I have any advantage over them that are asleep by death. Read on.
For the Lord himself. Shall descend from heaven. With a shout. With the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God.
The dead in Christ.
Shall rise first.
Now some have thought when it says rise first, that it means the thing will rise first and rain the air on that. But let us see how it connects to that. It means the dead in Christ shall rise first before those who are still living can go to meet the Lord. Now let's see how it reads now. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive
and remain.
Caught up together with them who rose first in the clouds
to meet the Lord in the air.
To meet the Lord in the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
And it didn't say we're coming back and reign 1,000 years. It said when we once get up there, we're going to forever be with the Lord. The Bible said it every question, doesn't it? Now it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But notice the connection. It said we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not prevent, which means to go before, or have any advantage over those who are dead today. To make it plain, if Father lives yet, according to age and the law of nature, he would pass before me. That don't mean a pathway, but according to nature, I mean. All right. Suppose the judgment day had come another year, and I would still be living. And it says would come, it'd be like lightning from the east to the west. Praise the Lord. Some people have living for yet and now. But when it comes, says it's going to be like the lightning flash from the east clear to the west. Every eye could be in Revelation 1 and 7. Even though the crucified him shall see him when he comes, and the way of the call him. Therefore, there's no question about seeing him. But listen, I believe Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There is now laid up for me a crown of life. And not only for me, but all of those who love his appearance, and those who are living saved, clear in their heart. When Jesus split the cloud, and they see him coming in the cloud, there will be a desire to leave us on earth and go to meet him. But according to this text, we that whoever believes, when Christ comes back, will have no advantage over those who served him and are already dead in the grave. Sometimes, when I go away and be gone for 7 weeks, or a month or two, and come home, if my children see them, they begin to run to meet me. But listen, the larger children are known sometimes to outrun the smaller ones and get to them first. But this time, there will be never a one that can be done to the Lord. It should all be the same. Living the eyes that walk down the line. And my Father the gospel has passed on. I said I'm going to beat them to the Lord. But I can't get away from there. I'll have to stay right there. Have no advantage over those that are in the grave. But those dead in Christ are going to rise first out of the grave. Then the alive will be caught up together with them. And they all go to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody said one time, I'm going to heaven if I have to go alone. That's a foolish statement. If we ever make it. If you said that one time, never do it again. Because God's prayer makes it clear that you'll never get to heaven unless you go with God's people. That's the only way to go to heaven. Because it said that they all will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And to prove that you won't see him alone. There's a scripture. I believe it's over. Possibly. In the fifth chapter of the Revelation. And down about
of verse 10 and 11, where John saw a number great come there. And he said to 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. I want to tell you, you're not the alone. And John said at the time, when they were counting, I believe it must be, maybe the 14th chapter of the Revelation, but in the cave, when they were numbering the tribes of Israel, 12,000 of each tribe, then finally he said, I saw a number which no man can number, out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. And I'm going to tell you, you will not go alone. The only thing we need to do is make sure you live right, that you go to heaven for the people of God. And they stand there, even the saints that are living on the earth and standing there and look and see him coming in the crowd will not forbid our go before those who are dead in the grave. But we must wait till the dead in Christ arise first out of the grave. Then we living shall be caught up together with them, and we'll all meet the Lord at one time in the air. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. How is he going to reign on earth 1,000 years when he never come back to the earth after he made him up to there? Jesus will never reach the earth when he comes back. He's going to be burned up in there. There'll be no place to reign with him. Somebody said it's burned over, but the Bible says it's burned up. Yeah, somebody told me one time.
He said burned up, not burned over.
Yeah. Several people, actually some people experience this salvation. Some think the earth will just be burned over and we'll live right here 1,000 years. Someone turned to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. God reading at verse 9, reading down. And we want to see if it's going to be burned over. Well, it seems like they're waiting in some place that's non existent. We do have a paradise.
Bring it over to them once it's like led into the smuggle.
Yes. Amen. Start reading with verse 9. Read that.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
As some men count
slackness.
But as long suffering to us
was.
Not willing that any should perish.
Not willing that
any
should perish.
But that all should come to repentance.
But all of us to come to repentance.
But the day of the Lord will come but as a thief in the night.
The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
In these weeks the heavens shall pass away.
They didn't say, and the heavens shall pass away.
With a great noise.
With a great noise.
And the
elements are going to melt the fervent heat.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
It didn't say burned over there. The earth and all the works in it shall be burned up. And how is it going to rain in 1,000 years? Burned up. Alright, now here's the thought. Isaiah talked about it. Is that not the 24th chapter of Isaiah? Someone check. Spoke about the earth shall reel to and fro as a drunken man, something like that. Shall be clean dissolved. And so fall shall never rise. Here is the thought. The earth will be burned up, the work that are in it, everything will be new. And it says plainly, when you meet the Lord in the air, you'll forever be with him. You won't come back anymore.
No.
Now in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 31, says, when Jesus comes back, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory in the clouds. Amen. Yeah. Didn't say it come to the earth, but you meet him in there. They'll sit upon the throne of his glory at that. And all nations shall be gathered before him. He didn't say some of them, but all of them. And he'll separate them right then, one from another. And the shepherd divides the sheep from his goats. Set the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. Right then you said to the righteous, come ye blessed of my Father.
Yeah.
And here's the kingdom of fasting from the foundation of the world. Yeah. Said to the weak, depart ye works of iniquity in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Yeah. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 41. The thought is this, it all will happen in the last day, yeah. In 1 hour. And it happens right then when Jesus comes. Now if Jesus was judged every man as he died, he would have had multiplied billions of judgments already.
Yeah.
But instead of that, he prepared a place a paradise for the righteous, a place of spiritual realm for the spirit of souls of men to abide until the judgment day. Then resurrect everybody at one time.
That's right.
And judge all of them at one time. And it went until the last day to do that. Then time shall be no more. And those who are lost will be in eternal hell forever and ever. Those who are saved will be in eternal heaven forever and ever. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
But while you may be also. He's preparing a place for us to be with him. And it didn't say, oh, come back and serve again. But it said he'd meet us in the air. And judge us in the air. Give you a warning in the air. And those that are right will never come back anymore. They'll forever be law. And those that are wicked shall never come back to those days. Will land in the eternal hell. And that will be the reward once forever. Never ending. There'll be no place for the 1,000 years millennium reign. That a term 1,000 in the Bible does not in every case mean just 1,000 years, no more nor less. It means a great and long duration of time. Now, you take in the 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 8, of the 8 or 9, so 1,000 years with the Lord is one day, and one day is of 1,000 years. And if you'll notice, the largest number used in Bible time that I can remember finding was 1,000. If they wanted to say 1,000,000, they would not say 1,000,000. They would just say 1,000,000. That's what they would say. Like there, and I wanted someone to check that to be sure we give you the right lesson. The 14th of Revelation, what they did. For it says, I had numbers that no man could number. He'd been naming the tribes of Israel, you know. 12,000 of each tribe. Finally, that a number which no man could number. Then Revelation 5, 10 and 11 through that, when he saw the multitude of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So the word thousand is used oft times, especially in the Semitic language, to express a long duration of time. Now the souls that are reigning in paradise did not reign just 1,000 years, no more nor less. They're reigning yet. The souls that are in paradise are still reigning. And will be reigning until Jesus comes back. But now, we don't have time to deal with it. But there was a certain great event happened, continued over a period of 1,000 years. The apostasy of the church. But during that time, they were reigning. But they didn't stop reigning before that and afterwards. But they were reigned throughout that period of time. And it said the rest of the dead live not again, but 1,000 years are finished. All right? We've explained and proved that resurrection from the dead, the first resurrection, meant resurrection from the dead state of sin. All right. We notice according to the scripture, in Acts the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th chapters, tells about a great revival that broke out in the church. And it mentions as many as 3,000 or more saved in one day. That was a lot of people being resurrected from a dead state of sin. The 66th chapter of Isaiah, shall a nation be born at once. Soon as Zion to bear, she brought forth the children, but for the man and child. They were born at once. That means thousands were resurrected at one time. And thereafter, over a period of centuries, people were saved by the multiplied thousands. The world, the gospel spread throughout the world. I believe there are few that turn the world by the side of us. The resurrection, that's the first resurrection. Multiplied thousands were saved wholesale. Millions were killed because of their stand for God. I believe history says as many as 55 million were killed through the Dark Ages. But here is what they're getting at. Finally, when Christianity became popular, amen. Began to triumph over everything else. Why is it popular and honorable to be a Christian in sight of men? Then there began to be a drift in sincere Christianity like you see it today.
When that time comes, salvation work ceased in the wholesale way on the earth. In other words, the dead, in the first resurrection, ceased. There wasn't many people being resurrected from the dead state of sin.
Now, just a resurrection.
Yeah, in a general sense. Therefore, they lived not again until this condition passed. Yeah. The rain on earth is right. That's right. And that rain on earth would mean the church standing out in its glory, triumphing over everything around, souls being saved wholesale on every hand. During the 1,000-year period that ceased. But glory to God, in the evening time it began again. Now, if we had about 2.5 more hours, we'd explain what you're talking about on that. But we have cleared, I believe, the thought sufficiently that if you take the Bible, there's no such thing as a 1,000-year millennial reign. That's what we're driving at now. There's no place for it. There's no other days left to reign 1,000 years because he didn't resurrect till the last day. Trumpet didn't blow until the last trumpet. When he met the Lord in the air, he stayed up there with him. He didn't even come back. 1,000 years. So there ain't no place for 1,000 years here. Because everybody that wasn't right stayed like he was. I believe in the revelation that he that's holy, let him be holy still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. What's the matter? Time's over now. Time's out. When this last trumpet blows, it's all over. That question says sin is lost forever. That question is saved, be saved forever. They will never have another chance to tempt him, and the sinner will never have a chance to get repent. It'll all be over in that last day. When that trumpet sounds in the resurrection, the last day. Now here's the thought. In the 14th chapter of the Revelation, in verse 10 and 11, Revelation 21 and verse 8, it told what will happen to sinners there. We've heard what will happen to the righteous who meet the Lord in there. Forever be with him. But the wicked, it said, would be turned into a lake of fire. That burns with fire and brimstone. Smoke and atonement shall ascend up forever and ever. Now, this is symbolic language, of course. And lake is used interchangeably with sea. And the term lake would mean the same as the term sea. Or a great body of water. I didn't notice in Bible times of them using the term ocean. But when you say lake or sea, the principle means the same. Now we know it today, the great ocean, the Pacific, the Atlantic, and other smaller oceans, the seas, lakes, and so on. Now John, I want you to remember, in this Revelation letter, was describing what he saw. An exhausted, you might say, language in his essence. Described. He mentioned the greatest things known to man, to bring it out. Now, lake of fire and brimstone. That is a lot who? Those who were wicked in that time come, who did not have part in the first resurrection. But all of those that had part in the first resurrection, they did not be hurt by the second death, which is the lake of fire. Now, notice the fact that those that are wicked was cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. That brimstone would mean sulfur. Now, think of fire and sulfur would be a terrible torture, would it not? You wouldn't have to burn but a little sulfur in this building here. So people be falling over one another trying to get out of here. It's just a torture to it. Alright? Now think of a whole ocean of fire and brimstone mix. That'd be a terrible punishment, wouldn't it? Think of the Pacific Ocean just a possible sea. Maybe 20 miles out, think about it. What an awful scene that would be. If it was all fire mingled with sulfur. That'd be a terrible torture, wouldn't it? Well, it says you'd be cast into a lake of fire.
and brimstone who? Those who witches the beast, those who are the witches. How in the world?
Let me be cast
into the slink of fire and brimstone. Now it is not speaking about a material fire, but an eternal fire. Praise the Lord. A fire that burns forever. Yeah. I mean, Luke mentions it. But the fire that shall never be quenched. Yeah. And the worm knows not. So it is better to eat a lion all I mean. To ride up in the right hand, that's all. Better to eat a lion, hold a mane, from having all your members, to be cast into the fire of hell.
Amen.
While the word dies off, and the fire is not quenched.
That's right.
Last prayer. When once Jesus come back, he is not coming back to set up a kingdom, but deliver up one.
Yeah.
His kingdom is now set up already. We're now reigning with him. And those that's reigning with him now,
praise the Lord,
will reign with him forever and ever. In Romans 5, verse 17, I believe it says, those that have the gift of life and abundance of death shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And in Romans 14 chapter, about verse 16 to 17, so the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but in his righteousness, in his peace, in his joy, in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God right now in us. Those who are reigning with him now will keep reigning when he comes. But those who are not in the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom of God, when Jesus comes, they shall be cast in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 40 to 44, so in the resurrection, your natural body will be changed into a spiritual body. Verse 51 and 52, this mortal shall put on immortality. And again in Philippians it says, 3rd chapter, verse 20 and 21, our vile bodies shall be made like unto his glorious body. Yeah. Which means this, all of those that are resurrected out of the grave, that are righteous, will be given an eternal body like God's, made like his glorious body, and will ascend to heaven, soul and body, and forever be with the Lord. And those that are wicked will also be resurrected, an eternal body, but they will ascend to eternal hell, to forever dwell in torture, forever and ever. Therefore, John said, we know that when he comes, we shall be like him. We don't know what it will be, but know we'll be like him. Because we'll see him as he is. John said it will be that way. Therefore, in conclusion, let everybody saved keep saved and be true to God. Let him meet him when he comes. Let all of us that are unsaved realize this. If you don't get saved now, you'll never be saved. Jesus is going to give you all the time you need. And when it comes, it'll be the last day. To be the last trumpet. There'll be time no more.
Amen.
And when it comes back, this world will be burned up, according to 2 Peter 3.
Yeah.
Elements will melt from fervent heat. Earth and everything will be burned up. And the wicked shall be turned into hell. Yeah. But the righteous into heaven forever. Now is your time.
Wow.
Now is your only time. If you miss it now, you'll miss it forever.
Amen.
There is no space afterwards. That's what I do. Upon the wicked. Yes. Amen. That'll happen to the wicked. Now, one day, Phil, there's a lot of people want to get saved this morning. Would you be willing to settle it that you'll be ready when that time comes? If it's not settled now, there'll be no time yet to settle it. Maybe you'll have a song to fit the occasion.
399.
The congregation stand with us. Let every soul that is not ready to meet God, make your way to God now. Now is your best time. Send it with God.